Song of Solomon 2:4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Song of Solomon 2:4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Song of Solomon 2:4. Psalm 139:17. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God! How vast is the sum of them. Psalm 139:17. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God! How vast is the sum of them. Psalm 139:17. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope, for he who promised is faithful. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope, for he who promised is faithful. Hebrews 10:23. Psalm 62:8. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. Psalm 62:8. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. Psalm 62:8. Psalm 119:103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Psalm 119:103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Psalm 119:103. Tonight we would ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. You'll see this verse in last Sunday's bulletin if you have that in hand. We deal tonight with the subject, God's plan is not an afterthought. Ephesians 1:19. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our scripture reading and our study for this evening. May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice this evening in the fact that we're privileged to be here. We are able here this evening to once again turn our attention to these eternal truths, your magnificent word. We appreciate so much tonight that we have the completed canon of Scripture, the wonderful word of God. We're also are appreciative of the fact that we can know, based on the authority of your word, that we're in harmony and in fellowship. Because you've said to us, if we confess our sins, that you'll be faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we're thankful for the fact that we can know that we're in harmony and fellowship with our Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for all the logistical blessings of life. We're the recipients of so many magnificent and wonderful blessings. And tonight we pray again for those of our church family who have illness. We pray that you will comfort and strengthen them. We thank you that you're the great physician, and we pray that your hand of love and healing will be upon them. Thank you so much for your grace blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 1:19 is on the screen for you to be able to see. Not only do we have it on the screen for you, but we have it in last Sunday's bulletin. So I trust that you will look at last Sunday's bulletin, and you will see Ephesians 1:19. Earlier today, we heard the reading of some of these magnificent verses. I'm going to ask you now, if you will, please, to look at Ephesians 1:13. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 1, who is given as a pledge, arabon, of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Ephesians 1:15, for this reason I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. Verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 1, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. The Apostle Paul is telling these people in verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then our verse for tonight. We looked at this last Sunday in both sessions. We look at it in this evening. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. On the screen, you see this magnificent verse translated from the original text. You will see that it says, and what understood is the surpassing magnitude of his omnipotence. We've already analyzed some of these words, but we're going to do it again this evening very quickly. If you'll look, you will notice, first of all, that there is a verb here, which is huperballo, huperballo. The word is translated surpassing. When you look at the word, you will discover that it is emphasizing here the fact that this is a two-part word. I notice that we don't have a rough breathing mark here, so we'll put it there. That's huperballo. Ballo, B-A-L-L-O, is interestingly described as ball. Huper is a prefix or preposition which means over. And so it emphasizes the process of throwing over, or, as you can see, we've translated surpassing. And what is the surpassing magnitude? Stop on that word for a moment and look at it. It's M-E-G-E-T-H-O-S, megathos. We get the word mega from that, or anything that is huge and great. And what is the surpassing magnitude of his omnipotence upon us? We're going to come back in a few moments and let you see some of these words in detail, but just wanted you to see that the word is dunamis and is translated omnipotence upon us, the believing ones. And then we have the rest of the sentence. It goes like this. According to the norm of the operational power, of the ruling power, of his inner power. I'm aware of the fact that that is a very close connection to each one of these specific words that are used here. On the screen now, you see special words. You see the word dunamis, D-U-N-A-M-I-S, which we've described as God's power. The power, the operational power of the Holy Spirit. On God's side, there's no help that's needed. On our side, we need soul energy. And we look at the word that we translate soul energy, and it is, as you can see in your text there, E-N-E-R-G-E-I-A-N. First of all, you'll be able to see that the word E-N-E-R-G-Y, energy, actually is this particular word. So on our side, we need soul energy. So I've written it down here for you to see that the Greek word is energion, which means energy. The next word that you see here is the word kratos, K-R-A-T-O-S. Actually, the way it's used here, it is in the accusative case, the direct object. But I put it down here in the nominative case, kratos, K-R-A-T-O-S. And you'll see that the emphasis there is on ruling power. So we see what happens when the Word of God is transferred from the Bible into our innermost beings. It becomes the ruling power. Then the other two words, which are beautiful here, one is the Greek word that emphasizes the word in the soul or truth that is used on a continuous basis. You'll see that we have all of these unique words. I will put this on the screen for you again in a little different fashion, and we'll see that the words are, first of all, dunamis, which is power. Then there's the word energy, which is soul energy. There's the word ruling power, kratos. There's the word inner power, and that is the utilization of the Word of God on a continuous basis. Now on the screen, we have very quickly for you tonight the summary of this verse, Ephesians 1:19. Number one, God's plan for the believer is outstanding. It is fantastic. We saw this last Sunday. It's a repeat tonight. God's plan is not an accident. God's plan is not an afterthought. God's plan for the believer is fantastic. Number two, God's plan includes the height of happiness in the grace abounding believer's life. Let's pause for a few moments and look at some words in number two. God's plan includes the height, the apex, the peak of happiness in the grace abounding believer's life. What this is saying to us is that the believer has the responsibility of advancing, growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ so that that individual can reach the mountain peak of the echo zone. Number three, the power of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life is what we call operational power. The next word that we saw in the verse in the Greek, number four, the ruling power is the fuel of the Word of God in our lives. And then the last word that we saw in Ephesians 1:19 in the original text, the inner power is the Word of God activated in the life of the born-again believer. What's amazing to me is that this is an exciting verse because it has some unique words, and these words from the original text actually emphasizes the fact that God's plan for us is not an afterthought. We've already emphasized the fact that God desires that we climb in our Christian lives to what we call the mountain peak of the echo zone. On the screen now, I'm putting some specific words for you to see. The peak of Echo Mountain is not only worthwhile, but is the most valuable possession of life. I'll let you spend a few moments looking at that. I'll try to take off any distractions that we may have here. So I want you to see that we're emphasizing God's plan is not an afterthought. God designed for you and me a life of joy and peace and happiness and triumph. Doesn't mean that we will not have difficulties along the way. We will have illness. We will have various types of problems and frustrations and perplexities. But God desires that each one of us be a triumphant, victorious believer. So the peak of Echo Mountain is not only worthwhile, but it is the most valuable possession of life. I want to repeat that because I want you to see that I'm trying to present tonight from this magnificent verse that God desires that we understand the power that He's provided for each believer. The peak of Echo Mountain is not only worthwhile, but is the most valuable possession of life. Now, the question that I have for you this evening is, how do we get to the mountain peak? How do you get there? How do I get there? How do we get to the mountain peak? The answer to that is, you get there by spiritual food residing in the soul. We've seen those letters many, many times over the years, S-F-R-I-S. In case that's new to any of you, please put it down, spiritual food, fuel, residing in the soul. Notice, if you will, daily. How do you get to the mountain peak? You get there by truth in the soul on a daily basis. Notice, if you will, something else that is said here. When you get there, your spiritual capacity will be enlarged. When you get there, your spiritual capacity will be enlarged. Now, I need to say to you that these things that I'm repeating are not being repeated because I'm senile. It's because I want you to see it. And I want you to be sure that you understand what I'm seeing in this particular verse, Ephesians 1:19. Powerful words. You've seen this several times tonight. You saw it last Sunday, but here we have it again. If you'll look carefully, you will discover that there are these words that are so powerful. There's the word dunamis, from which we get our English word dynamite. And I put it down as perfect power of God. There's no power like the power of God. The next word you can see is energian. We've said that that's the word. We get our English word energy from this. So it is God's energy at work in your life and mine. It's important also for us to be able to see that another word that's used here is the word kratos, K-R-A-T-O-S. It's used in the accusative case, which is K-R-A-T-O-U-S. I won't get into that. The accusative plural is used for what we call intense ruling power. You might want to put this down in your notes. Intense ruling power. In other words, God wants us to see the importance of living a life that is connected to His desires and His design for each one of us while we're here for these brief years on this earth. Powerful words indeed in Ephesians 1:19. Dunamis, dynamite. Energy, God's energy at work. Kratos, intense ruling power. And then this last word, I-S-C-H-U-O-S. Now we see the results of this intense ruling power. What we're going to see tonight is, as we look at this verse of Scripture, the intense ruling power that results in a strong, powerful, healthy, spiritual soul. These are powerful words, and I wanted you to see how unique they really are. Now tonight, I want you to see that there's a word that describes this, and that is the Greek word plutos. Plutos is the word which is defined or designed to express God's riches for mankind. The Greek word plutos, P-L-O-U-T-O-S, means wealth, riches, possessions, abundance of benefits. I don't want to be misunderstood this evening, so you'll have to listen very carefully. I'll just tell you right at the beginning that God doesn't intend for every one of you to be millionaires from a financial standpoint. But God does design for each one of us to be spiritual millionaires, which means that we're living within the framework of God's design so beautifully presented to us. The Greek word plutos, P-L-O-U-T-O-S, when you look at that word, you will discover it means wealth, riches, possessions, abundance of benefits. Number one, in heaven, there will be far more blessings than materialistic blessings. Now, all of us know that. In heaven, there will be far more blessings than materialistic blessings. But while we're here on the earth, God desires to bless the mature believer in various ways. Sometimes with success, promotion, wealth, and in fact, an abundance of benefits. I want you to follow me carefully in being able to see what I firmly see from the Word of God. Number two, when a believer stays with God's plan, is perceptive to the Word of God, and is consistent in the intake of spiritual food, he will, she will have an enlarged capacity, which makes it possible for God to rain, pour, douse him or her with all kinds of blessings. It could be in the material world, it could be from a physical standpoint, and yet all of these blessings to the person who has capacity will not ruin him or her. Now I want you to see what we're saying. Again, in point two, when a believer stays with God's plan, is perceptive to the Word of God, and is consistent to the intake of spiritual food, that person will have an enlarged capacity. The enlarged capacity simply means that whatever God chooses to bless us in life, we have great appreciation and thanksgiving for it. And whenever we are blessed, whatever the blessing is, because of the capacity in the believer's life, that blessing will not cause ruin in the individual's life. What we have to understand is that when our attention is placed on the blessor, then the blessings can be a blessing for us. Now, you have to understand what I've just said. When a believer stays with God's plan, is perceptive to the Word of God, and is consistent in the intake of spiritual food, that person will have an enlarged capacity, which makes it possible for God to rain, pour, douse him or her with material and physical blessings, and yet not ruin the individual. Number three, the money situation is actually no effort for God, but capacity on the believer's part is always the problem. Are you able to see what I'm trying to show tonight? God has all of the cattle on 1,000 hills. He may desire to send some of those over your way, but he wouldn't do it if it ruined you. In other words, if you didn't have the capacity to receive, he certainly is not going to allow you to be ruined. The money situation then is no effort for God, but capacity on the believer's part is always the problem. Number four, God owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. And I said here, he desires to herd some of those onto your spiritual ranch. And I find that in Psalm 50, 10, 11, and 12. I'm aware of the fact that communication like this can cause some individuals a little difficulty because they are of the opinion that anything that relates to blessings, no matter what area it is, that's not an emphasis that should be presented. Number five, the source of all wealth, the source of all blessings, is God. And God has all of these magnificent things, many times with no place to put them. So the reason is that so many believers are sloppy, indifferent, and too filled with selfish desires to be consistent, disciplined enough to advance to the top of the mountain peak of grace. Let me repeat number five and let you look at it again. The source of all wealth, the source of all blessings, is God. And God has all these things, many times with no place to put them, since believers are so sloppy, so indifferent, and too filled with selfish desires to be consistent enough, disciplined enough, to advance to the top of the grace abounding mountain peak and have the capacity to receive God's riches. And that's the Greek word, plutos, P-L-O-U-T-O-S. Number six, the Christian way of life, C-W-L, the Christian way of life is receiving spiritual food and advancing to maturity and beyond. Gaining capacity for life, CFL, and then being the recipient of whatever God chooses to send our way. The Christian way of life, CWL, is receiving spiritual food and advancing to maturity, advancing down the highway of God's grace beyond maturity, gaining capacity for life, and then being the recipient of whatever God chooses to pour. Number seven, and the last one, God is not on starvation row. And there's nothing particularly spiritual about believers' so-called suffering for Jesus. When there's capacity, there will be blessings. It's important for me to reiterate and emphasize what I'm trying to get over, and that is, the emphasis here is not upon the blessings. The emphasis is upon the aspect of concepts and attitudes toward the blessor. The blessor has no problems whatsoever with blessings to those who are recipients of God's grace. God is not on starvation row, and there's nothing particularly spiritual about believers' so-called suffering for Jesus. But notice, if you're seeing this, when there is capacity, there will be blessings in various areas. There's no starvation in God's essence. There's no poverty in God's attributes. Let's look for a few moments at the essence of God. God is sovereign, righteous, justice, love, eternal life, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, immutability, veracity. Now, let me show you again. God is the God of all blessings. And God desires to bless us in every possible way. The most important thing is for us to not be emphasizing the blessings, but to emphasize the blessor, which simply means that if we advance to the point where God can bless us, He will be able to see that no matter what the blessings are, our emphasis in our lives will not be upon the blessings, but upon the blessor. Notice, if you will, please, number 8. Not every Mountain Peak believer will be a multimillionaire, but God desires to pour out blessings upon those who have capacity to properly receive. And then I want you to be able to see there will be many variations, but all of them are great. God desires that each one of us live in what we call the divine power sphere. And now on the screen, you see again, not anything that you haven't seen before. You need to see it hundreds and hundreds of times to be able to understand how unique God's plan is for us. God's plan is not an afterthought. God knows exactly what He's doing. And God sees us as individuals. He sees us personally. The important thing for us to see is that God has given to us what we call a system of love. We've called this by different titles: the divine power sphere, the interlocking systems of love, the divine dynasphere, the love system. We use different terminologies over the years, but I think that the love system is a good way to express it. When we're inside this system, it simply means that we're in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're cleansed of sin. We're filled with the Spirit. We're normal as a spiritual being. And we're able to understand that within the framework of this divine power sphere, there are things that we need to consider. First of all, we need to consider what it took for us when we get out of fellowship to get back in fellowship. And that is what we call restoration to fellowship. That's gate 1, step 1, which is the filling of the Holy Spirit. So often, believers do not have an understanding of the importance of the cleansing of sin and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Some people, when they hear the expression filling of the Holy Spirit, they draw some conclusions that are far-fetched and out of round. The filling of the Holy Spirit is for the believer to be normal, not abnormal. It is to be normal for us to be in harmony and in right relationship with Jesus Christ. He made that possible for us by means of being restored to fellowship if that's our need. That's the reason why we spend a few moments before we begin the study of God's Word for us to pray and to be sure that we're in harmony with the Lord. If we're out of harmony, it simply means that we're under the control of our old sinful nature. And we're not going to fulfill God's plan as a believer outside of harmony, under the control of the sinful nature. When we find ourselves outside, we need to do something about it rapidly, and that is admit our faults and failures and sins and get right back in harmony with our Lord. He wants to live our lives in harmony with Him. Understanding also that when this happens, we have what is known as basic impersonal love. The word impersonal is probably not the best word. Impersonal could be described as unconditional love. It's an emphasis upon having a relaxed mental attitude in life. I'm going more slowly now than I normally do, but I want you to see that we're talking about living inside of God's magnificent sphere of power, and God's plan is not an afterthought. If you'll notice also, there's a third step, and that is humility. Humility falls in various categories. One of the categories is enforced humility. The other is organizational humility, and the other is genuine humility. I would like for you to think with me for a few moments about those three. First of all, when I see a mother and dad, and I see children, I see the importance of what we call here enforced humility. In other words, the responsibility of the daddy and mother is to help that child understand the importance of authority. And so we classify that as enforced humility. What we discover is that as we continue to grow and advance in God's grace, we will have what is known as organizational humility. And I see that so beautifully manifested in the fellowship of Grace Bible Church. I see organizational humility, and that's where it should be. And then I notice, if you will please, that there can result what we call genuine humility. That simply means that on a day-by-day basis, we have a proper relationship to our Lord, and we follow His design. We love Him. We love His Word. We desire to walk within fellowship with Him, and we have genuine humility. Notice, if you will, step four. We call it gate four, which is perception and application of God's Word. Perception and application of God's Word. I've talked to people about this, and it seems like they have no concept, no idea whatsoever about that which I'm speaking. When I talk about perception and application of God's Word, people, it just seems it goes like that over their heads. They don't see it. They don't understand what you're talking about. So maybe I should reiterate some thoughts here. Perception means that you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're cleansed of sin, filled with the Holy Spirit, and you desire knowledge of His Word. Perception, and then application of the truth of God. Notice, if you will, please, step one, step two, step three, step four. Those are very, very important because they bring about the results on the bottom emphasis of this diagram. Number five, number six, number seven, number eight. You may wonder why I use the word plutos tonight, the word riches, God's riches. We're going to see it in just a few moments. Gate five is a right relationship with our Heavenly Father. When I use that relationship word, I use the word personal love for God. If you'll notice the next step, I use impersonal love for companion. Husband and wife relationship is emphasized here. Unconditional love. Many, many times I've said, you can put the little sentence down, I love you. I can say to my companion, you can say to your wife, I love you. But the quality of that love is determined by the subject, not by the direct object. I is the subject. Love is the verb, the action word. You is the direct object. It's in the accusative case. I love you. I don't need to tell you that because you all know that very well. But I'm repeating something here that all of us need to see. The quality of the love that a husband has for his wife is not determined by the response of the wife. It's determined by the relationship of the subject to the Lord. I love you. So it means, number six, gate six, impersonal love for companion. But don't forget this. When you go to gate seven, it's love in relationship to friends, in relationship to an advanced, impersonal love for everyone. There's no way that you can love every person personally. But the scripture here is emphasizing the fact that you and I should have a good attitude, a right attitude toward individuals, no matter who they are, no matter how they act, or no matter how you may or may not agree or disagree with their particular lifestyle. Love in relationship to friends, advanced in personal love for everyone on the earth. Which takes me to the last point. We're dealing again with that magnificent word, Plutos, riches, God's riches. And here it is, gate 8, which is word described as chara, C-H-A-R-A. From the Greek, it is translated joy. But in reality, it's an emphasis upon happiness. What this system is, it's a system designed for you and me to have a life of joy, peace, contentment. A summary again, which we've already analyzed. Ephesians 1:19. Number one, God's plan for the believer is fantastic. God's plan for the believer is outstanding. Number two, God's plan includes the height of happiness. That's gate 8, which we've seen in our diagram. God's plan includes the height of happiness in the life of the grace-abounding believer. Number three, the power of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life is the operational power. I believe that all of you are able to see how fantastic Ephesians 1:19 is. The power of the Holy Spirit in your life and mine is the operational power. Number four, the ruling power is the fuel of the Word of God. Number five, the inner power is the Word of God activated in the life of the born-again believer. God's plan for your life and mine is not an afterthought. God desires that we travel the highway of grace up to the mountain peak of the echo zone and enjoy life greatly. To the person who hasn't accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, my, they're missing everything. They're missing the most important thing in the world, and that is a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Salvation is God's plan for mankind. Salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone. That's the reason why the Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." There may be someone hearing this voice tonight. You've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. I would not want to leave this service without telling you that you can be saved right now. Jesus said, "I'm the way." So He'll save you if you'll trust Him. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." The Bible says, "You who have the Son have life. You who do not have the Son do not have life," which just simply means that Jesus is the way of salvation, the only way. And you can have Him as your Savior now if you'll pray and trust Him. Father, we're thankful for the time we've been together tonight. We're thankful for Your love and grace. We're thankful that You have a wonderful plan for each of our lives. And especially when we pray tonight, that there will be those who will see their need to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and do that. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
My soul thirsts for You, and my flesh yearns for You. In a dry and weary land, where there is no water, thank you. watches of the night. In the shadow of your wings, I sing because you help me. My soul clings to you, and your hand upholds me. You alone.